Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for joining me and being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead with our good friend, Dr. William Dunkelberg. Bill Dunkelberg is the chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB. He's also a professor of economics at Temple University in the great state of Pennsylvania, the great city of Philadelphia. And he's our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, sir. Always good to come back.
It's good to have you back. Do you remember where you were on this day 30 years ago?
I don't have a clue. I might be able to pin it down to the state.
Well, I bet you'll have a better idea when I remind you that this is the day that Elvis Presley died.
Nope.
1977.
Yeah, no, I didn't pay much attention to Elvis.
You don't remember where you were when Elvis died?
I don't.
When you heard about the news?
Did he die? I thought he was still around. Elvis sightings all the time.
Now, I thought you were a rock and roll kind of guy, Bill.
I am, but I like the music, but when I sang the songs, it's always do 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 do.
Okay, Bill. All right, I'm sorry. I brought it up.
I don't get the words, you know, and who did them.
Well, this is the day, and it's been. I remember where I was. I was in my car listening to the radio, driving back from a business meeting, and I'll never forget that. So you weren't a big Elvis fan, then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
I was not anybody's particular fan, I guess. But.
Yeah. Well, you were into economics. You know that you're sort of preserving the stereotype of economists.
Uh-oh.
Bill. Hey, Bill, let's talk about and we're going to talk about your survey. We're going to talk about what your small business respondents said to you when you polled them about the economy in July. But before we get into that, let's talk about the global situation. We got a lot of schizophrenic stuff going on out there. We got economies that are growing. The global economy seems to be doing well. Yet, we got capital markets that are in disarray. Help us sort this out, Bill. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, well, we're not sure, you know, how much disarray the markets really are. It's, you know, things that happen in the capital markets always get exaggerated, and sometimes, you know, we forget that it's a fairly small circle of things that are happening there, not really going to have a major impact out there on Main Street. Remember, 1987 was the biggest stock market decline in history,
right,
points and percentage. You know, and really nothing happened. I mean, there was a big hullabaloo on Wall Street,
right.
Lots of people were flailing and worrying about things, but it didn't affect the real economy very much, and I think you got much the same thing happening here. We had a bubble, kind of an economy. I mean, things were exciting in housing and related markets, and now, you know, some of the stuff got overpriced, and now it's, you know, not going so well. And we have a weird situation now. Of course, there's really nothing wrong with the banking system. We don't have banks that are in trouble. There's no run. There's no run on the bank. But there's a run on the hedge funds. Now, I don't know if we worry about that. Hedge funds are illiquid, so some people who want to withdraw their money are being told they have to wait, and that worries them. And, of course, then the prices of the hedge funds and their assets start falling. But I'm not sure, you know, if that isn't just a really, you know, well-contained problem.
Well, you know, you make an excellent point that I've been talking about, something I've been saying for a long time now, and that we have to realize that Wall Street is not the same thing as Main Street.
Yep.
And what kind of bothers me, though, Bill, is the news media makes it sound like that it is. It makes it sound like they make it sound like whatever's going on in Wall Street must be what's happening with the economy. In fact, they'll say some of the non-financial networks will say now for our business reporting, and then they'll talk about stock market. They won't talk about business. I mean, you know, folks, the stock market is. There, you know, it is about business, but it's not, you know, that's not where, you know, customers and products meet. That's the cap part of the capital market.
No, that's right. And you know, so far we don't have a lot of evidence that Main Street's really being impacted here. But obviously, you know, there were people who made bets, took a lot of risk. There's too much leverage behind the purchase of the assets. And, of course, small change in the value of the asset when it's leveraged, you know, 10 to 1, causes trouble.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask Bill what he thinks about what the Fed has been doing to respond to some of these financial market challenges. And we'll do that right after these messages. Stay with us. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame.
And the man is dead, that's right. Turn the microphone. Say the last just as the time bell rings. I'll be a good. I knew that I would not. I feel good.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, Dr. William Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And we're talking just for a few more minutes, folks, with Bill about what's going on out there. And Bill, in a second, I want you to tell the audience what you think small business owners should be thinking about this stuff that's going on. I mean, the Asian stocks are down, the U.S. stocks are down, and all that. And as you know, I don't think we should get too upset about it because you know, as I say, that's one market, and we live in another market. We work in the Main Street market. But before we get into that, I want you to talk to us about what you think the Fed has done this week with regard to reacting to some of the upheaval in these financial markets. Tell us what they've done and why they did it.
Well, you know, in terms of the highly advertised federal funds rate target, which is 5.25%, they haven't changed it. And I think really that's appropriate. There's a lot of pressure on the Fed from some corners to cut that rate and make funds cheaper. But really that would be just helping people out who made bad decisions by giving them cheaper money. You know, because the rest of us, I mean, we always like cheaper money, but the point is this, that the Fed and the Federal Open Market Committee, which is 12 people, decided that 5.25 is the right rate to help fight inflation long term. It's not a short term, you know, week to week or month to month fight. Excuse me. And so the rate is set, rightly or wrongly, we can have that debate, but it's set at 5.25. And so basically what the Fed has said to the markets is if you need liquidity, you can borrow money at this rate, but we're not cutting it and making it cheaper.
So
and
isn't
that's
this
what's happened. The Fed did, you know, put about $40 billion in reserves out a couple of days ago to people who felt they needed to borrow reserves to keep inside the rules, have enough liquidity at the banks, and so on.
And you felt that that was the right thing for them to do.
I think that's the right thing to do. You can't keep adjusting the federal funds rate, you know, to help these kinds of things. That, you know, they're interesting and they're maybe a little worrisome to some people, but unless markets got truly disorderly, so that Main Street was affected by the lack of availability of credit, the Fed really has no business stepping in and adjusting rates on a monthly or weekly basis,
right,
to try to adjust things in the market. The market is disciplining people who took risks, made bad decisions, whatever, and that's what we need them to do, so that next time people are, you know, don't count on the Fed bailing them out.
Well, exactly. And so what you're saying is, if I understand this, Bill, is that the Fed said, okay, we're not going to change the rates because we have to hope, we believe that this rate is what it takes to kind of hold inflation in check, which is our primary goal in life. Our goal in life is to do that, not to help hedge funds out.
Exactly.
But if you guys need more money, we'll give you the access to more money, but at the prevailing rate, at the current rate.
Exactly. The discount window is open, and people, the banks can come in and borrow money if they need it, you know, if they need reserves. That is, if some of their assets become illiquid, they need liquidity to meet the requirements that are imposed on them by the Federal Reserve System. You know, 10% of your deposits have to be there in cash. Well, they can borrow some money and put up collateral and then pay it back later when the liquidity is returned.
Right.
And that's
all right,
so, the way it works.
So what did your, this month, watching all the things that are going on this last month, what did your respondents to your survey tell you?
Well, we found that there wasn't a real problem on Main Street at all. One of the questions we ask every month is, the last time you got a loan, was it easier or harder to get than the time before? So it's a measure of, you know, how tight are the credit markets. And we found out that, you know, that there's really been no change in the percent who said it was harder. That was around 5%, and it's been that way for 15 years. And we know it gets higher than that because we saw it go up to 30 and 40% back in the early 80s when it was really hard to get credit. So this is a good index. We also only had 3% of our members say that getting credit was their number one business challenge, and that's been, you know, really low like that for 15 years or so. So nothing has changed there, and that was, again, a very good indicator. And another question we ask is, were you able to handle all of your credit needs? Were you able to finance all your credit needs? And we started asking that question in 1993, and we had the best numbers we've had since 1993 last month. So
Wow. We
have no sign that
that's really good news.
Credit is tight.
That's really good news. I'm glad to hear that, and it also tells me that local banks are not getting caught up in the hysteria. They're grounded in their Main Street environment. And they're saying, you know what? You know, I can't help what happens in Hong Kong. My guys locally are doing business, and they're profitable, and I'm going to work with them.
That's right. There are 8,000 commercial banks, and some of them are really big, like the Bank of America or Citicorp, but most of them are not, and they're much more locally focused. And as you know, I'm the chairman of a small bank in
right.
New Jersey, and we have three branches, and we have meetings every week for the loan committee. We have not changed our lending standards at all. Our problem is that the people borrowing money have too many options. That is, the competition's really tough. They're getting really good rates out there.
That's a high-class problem for small business owners, isn't it?
Exactly. The owners love this. The credit's widely available, and the price is good. So everything seems to be working out okay there.
Hold on to that thought, Bill. When we come back, folks, after these messages, I'm going to ask Bill what he thinks about the U.S. economy. How's it doing? How's it holding up? And also compared to the rest of the world. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance. Use them to your advantage. Lots of good stuff there in both of those sites. And nothing there we have except for the books. The books will cost you if you buy them, but everything else is free. So check that out and use it to your advantage. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. Dr. William Dunkelberg is the chief economist for the NFIB, and this survey that he conducts, ladies and gentlemen, we post on our website every month, but also it's available at nfib.com and also, Bill, on your other website, too.
Smallbiz, that is, smallbus.org.
Smallbizbus.org. So
right.
Check that out, folks. You can find the survey there. It's in plain English. You'll enjoy it. You'll get a lot of good information out of it. I encourage you to check it out. Bill, what do you think? You know, small business owners are looking around. They're watching television. They've got their own little portfolios, maybe that they built in addition to their own business that they're managing their stocks and everything in their 401ks or their IRAs or whatever they've got. And so they're affected in some way by the market news, the stock market news. But they're looking around. The gas prices are high. Well, actually, they've come down a little bit. They're still pretty darn gas is still pretty darn expensive. But yet their business probably seems to be doing not too bad. Well, how do they deal with all this?
Well, they're probably happy about that. Hopefully the small business owners have some money. They've made some money, and they're invested in the stock market, and they probably see a lot of flailing around out there, as we see a lot of movements, you know, up three, down three, mm-hmm. and I mean by 300. But most small businesses, well, no small business for all practical purposes are stock companies, so they don't have to worry about that. In the meantime, you know, consumers are still doing pretty well. There was news yesterday that Walmart said sales were a little less than they expected. Well, that may be, but sales are still solid. The economy's moving along at not at a, you know, a huge pace, but somewhere between 2 and 3% real growth. So, you know, things are kind of okay. They're moving along, and small business owners are staying busy, just taking care of their customers. And
let me ask you this question about sometimes when people hear Walmart sales is off, a lot of people believe that that's a sign that the economy is not good because they do so much business. But what are the chances, Bill, that it's a sign that people are getting tired of buying at Walmart, and maybe the economy is doing so well that people are saying, you know what, I can afford to go and shop somewhere else. I don't have to buy at Walmart. What do you think?
Well, that happens, from time to time.
I mean, I don't get all my market information from Walmart, and I don't think other people should either.
Yeah, I mean, the reason people look at Walmart is it's so big, and there's so many stores, and they're everywhere.
Yeah,
they use them as an indicator of ordinary folk spending and how much they're spending. But you know, there are seasonals on that. You know, it gets really hot, and people just don't go shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
And we try to seasonally adjust the data, but the weather never matches the average seasonal. It's always different from the average, so it's hard to say a lot about those numbers. I look at the labor markets; those are the best indicators, and people are still getting jobs, 100,000 plus jobs a month.
Isn't that the strong indicator of the overall health of the economy? People are still working.
That's what I think.
No, that's what I tell people when they ask me about the economy. I say, look. This is different from past times when you might have been worried about how shaky things were. People have jobs, and even if their house payment is going to get higher and they can't really afford it, I mean, what major mortgage company, Bill, is going to foreclose on somebody who's got a job and who wants to keep making a payment?
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
I got to believe there's going to be some negotiating going on out there, don't you, on these mortgages?
Oh, yeah, that's going to be happening out there. I mean, the banks would rather make some deals than to have the delinquencies and the problems. And
right.
That has to be done. And it's also true, though, that there are a bunch of mortgages were made by some companies, only a few, that were inappropriate. I mean, they were really making loans without checking on your income. You could put down, I got $1 million income, and they wouldn't bother to check it. These no-doc loans are bad investments. It was a bad decision, and they're paying the price.
And they're paying the price now. Hey, Bill, what do you think about the economy for the rest of the year? 20 seconds.
I think we're in good shape. We're going to grow somewhere around 2.5-ish, which is a little bit below potential, but it'll keep things moving forward. We'll have jobs every month.
Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. William Duckerberg, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best, as you can tell. And he and I, he'll be back next month. I'll be back in the next hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.